You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolf.
And welcome to the Win-Win podcast. This is Ben Wolf and the official podcast of Wolf's Edge Integrators. Wolf's Edge Integrators is, again, the fractional COO firm of people who have owned or run businesses previously. You can find some good resources there at wolfsedgeintegrators.com/resources, like particularly the roadmap, the business roadmap, which is a simplified version of what we use with our own clients in terms of how to chart a path from where your business is now to where you want it to be, what the steps are, so you can have a clear path, a clear roadmap of how to get there. So there's a video training on how to use it and a roadmap that you could download there, wolfsedgeintegrators.com/resources. Some other good resources there, including a free chapter of my book, Fractional Leadership, Landing Executive Talent You Thought Was Out of Reach. And with that, I want to get into introducing our guest today on the topic of revenue opportunities hiding in your CRM. Our guest today is the revenue growth and business development leader with Sales Chasers. You can find out more about her at saleschasers.com. And with that, I give you Michelle Page. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you, Ben. It is such a pleasure to be here. I've been looking forward to this one.
Awesome. Me too. Me too. Very, very interesting topic here. And I like these ones where that force us to look at, especially sales, in a way that is different from how we usually do it. It's usually just about lead gen and new sales. Like that's just like, it's like blinders. And there are things that are lower lift and more ROI for the time and the energy and the money. So we're, you know, definitely look forward to talking about that with you today. Would you mind giving us a quick 2-minute background, a little history and context to how you got to be talking about this specific topic?
Absolutely. Well, being a Girl Scout and going to Catholic schools, I was a seller from the get-go. So when I went down the professional path, I just kind of led into that. I went from an individual contributor where I just naturally, with my personality, I would share tips and tricks with my peers. Then my leadership asked, okay, well, how should we tackle this? What are your thoughts on this? So I kind of became a coach before I knew I was a coach. Once I got into leadership, of course, I had my coach to team. I had my peers to I had my team to coach. You got what I was saying.
Yeah.
I had my peers, and of course, even my upline, directors, VPs, we would start not just leading and coaching teams, but starting to develop strategy. And that's where the whole shift in my thinking went to say, okay, it's not about getting more sales. There's something deeper. Let's go to the root and see, you know, the old phrase, how to work smarter, not harder. And that's where a lot of revenue is already in your CRM.
Right. Well, you know, so let's walk first through the problem, right? What's the problem with how most people use or fail to use their CRM and their sales resources?
Well, the problem boils down to a couple buckets of issues. A lot of times the CRM is purchased by leadership that is not the ones using it for inputting the data. So they don't necessarily know what needs to be tracked from a data field perspective in order to give the outputs that they're looking for. So the CRM has to be selected properly, an appropriate fit for their organization. It has to be designed properly. And then we have the two big ones, the training and implementation. If it's not properly rolled out, it's not going to be effectively used. And of course, one of my favorite phrases from a prior leader and current friend, Stacey Andrick, you have to inspect what you expect. Mm-hmm. Don't just roll it out and expect it to work. So there's so many ways that you can set yourself up for success.
Well, when you know, I know you have a systematic way, and I know we're going to get in over the coming minutes into you know, how to mine your CRM or find hidden revenue opportunities in the CRM. But before we get to that, why don't you start with a story? Like tell us an example of somebody who went beyond those mistakes and that bad setup maybe. And, you know, and I don't know, it was the wrong fields or wrong design or wrong utilization or wrong training or wrong inspection of expectation. But, you know, of somebody that went beyond that, like, what did they do? Tell us like an encouraging story so people can see sort of what their future might look like.
Okay.
If they did better.
Absolutely. So this is somewhat of a typical story of one of the clients I work with. I do a lot of partnering with tech firms. And if you think about a tech firm that's in that startup scale-up mode, you usually have a brilliant founder. They know the product, they know the solution they're solving, they know technology, they know software. They don't really know sales. But it's typically a founder-led sales organization. They haven't filled out that leadership role yet. Well, this particular company, they had not really had a formal sales organization. They had kind of plugged and played a few people, but they never really had any structure. So the CRM that they used, first of all, they had a CRM that was overwhelming for their needs. It did not include anything prior to once someone was in the actual selling cycle. So all of the lead capture, all of the prospecting, all that information was nowhere.
Right.
There was no
people's personal email, people's personal notebooks, whatever. Like,
exactly. So when somebody did enter something, because, you know, I'm now working with Joe at SMB company, they would enter Joe's name, maybe his title, his best contact number, not necessarily the company's, and his email. So we now have no insight into the company or who he works with or who he reports to, who's in the decision-making process. And if Joe leaves that company, what happens to the relationship with that company? Poof.
Right.
It's gone.
Right.
So you're losing a lot of opportunity there just by not capturing information at that first touch with that prospect. So that's the situation that I walked into. We had a lot of data in the CRM, but it was very incomplete. The CRM housed prospects, both active and inactive, clients, both active and inactive, network contacts, vendors, every communication you can think about, every contact point. None of them were labeled who they were or what they were. So instead of going into the CRM, when you have a new salesperson to see, okay, well, who can I contact? They're like, let me go pull some more leads. And they really didn't have an ICP identified. So whenever they pulled a lead list.
ICP meaning?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Ideal client profile.
Okay.
That's when you narrow down and say, okay, this is the image of who I want to contact. So I don't want the world. I want this narrow profile. And narrow is a relative term. But they would pull a lead list and put the entire thing in the CRM. So you have a lot of garbage in there.
Right.
And the good stuff, it's incomplete. So the first engagement with this client was to say, okay, we're going to inspect the CRM, see what's in there. Enhance the data that's missing. And then we're going to cross-reference, okay, the clients that you have, who else, what are the key decision makers do we need in? Because if your contact Joe leaves, you need to have a whole nother crew in there who knows you, who likes you, who sees the value in your product.
Right.
You also need to know when Joe leaves, where did he go? Chances are he went to a company that either is similar to yours in the product or service or has similar needs. But Joe likes you in your company, he might like you in his new company.
Right. There's a new potential client there.
There you go. When Joe left, somebody filled his position. Who was it? find out unanswered data and get it in there. There are similar examples for inactive clients. Well, hopefully with a very effective CRM, you're going to know why they left because the data is in there. That'll give you an idea of when you need to follow up. If you lost the customer because this one contact did not see the value, but that contact is gone now, you now have a strategy for getting back in.
Right.
For prospects, if you have an effective CRM and you know why you lost the prospect, and now you've had a new iteration of your product and you can solve that objection, or the competitor that they chose is having some challenges,
mm-hmm.
now you have a talking point. So that's where you have so much opportunity in your CRM if it's set up correctly, if it's implemented correctly, and if it's, what's that word, utilized by everyone from every function of the organization that touches revenue or touches the customer.
Yeah, that sounds quite overwhelming, right? If I have a business and my CRM is maybe a mess, it's incomplete, or this organization's missing multiple, lack of multiple contacts in organizations, lack of clear identification of decision makers and whatnot. What's the process that you teach clients or take clients through to go through that? I mean, is that sort of like an all hands on deck, like no sales for 2 months while we go and clean things up? Like what's the approach that you take for getting better data to go starting through that project?
Well, there are a lot of options there, and most of them depend on the state that the client is in. In this particular case, they were getting ready to customize their CRM. They were going to do a major overhaul. So that was perfect timing to say, okay, we're going to actually get the data in line while we're getting the structure in line. So mm-hmm. we did the two in parallel.
Mm-hmm.
They were still in that point where they were trying to figure out their sales organization. So concurrent with that project, I was also building and launching their business development team.
Mm-hmm.
So it was great to have the two projects in parallel because we could set it up knowing, okay, as I'm training the new sales reps, what do they need to know? What do they need to capture? So it was great to do that. If you already have a team, there's no need to pause operations. There are dozens of tools out there that you can enhance your data. You can do it on an overnight or downtime process. You can do it on weekend.
That's something you're saying can be automated or done with through technology?
If it's appropriate for your company, yes. And when I say appropriate for your company, there's factors involved. A key one is budget. A lot of companies are bootstrapping it. They need to figure out the best way to get to their goal quickly, but with minimal expenditure. So that's another way I partner with them. And I say, okay, what is your goal? What's your desired state? What is your current state? And that's not just numbers on a whiteboard. That includes things like your capabilities, your limitations, and one of those limitations may be budget.
Right.
So we try and figure out what is the best way to bridge that gap to success. And if that means accelerating one thing and doing another a little bit more manually, we kind of have to shift the balance there.
Right. Talk more about some of these ways to mine the CRM or to find hidden revenue opportunities. You briefly introduced a few of those concepts. If you could talk more, what are some of those other ways or maybe more depth on how we can find those hidden revenue opportunities?
Absolutely. Let me share another story with you. And I'm going to share a story of how things went, in my estimation, terribly wrong. Mm. So I worked with another outsource partner, and the end client would often provide the list. So we didn't really have a hand in selecting who we were going to do outreach to. And oftentimes that list would have bad data because the phone number changed, a contact changed, or whatever the case may be. So the output from their CRM was dirty data.
Hmm.
The philosophy was, well, we're going to get through as much of the data as possible. So if you find something that is incorrect, the phone number, an email bounce, so we don't know if that person is still there or not. The contact name is not there. We, you know, we only have a main office number. We don't have a direct number. Any barrier to reaching that person, just throw it in the research pile and just keep dialing. My head was spinning.
You mean at the size of this research pile?
Yes, because it was never researched.
Right.
So let's say you have a list of 100 and 40, which was an accurate percentage, 40 end up in the research pile. So you keep chasing 60. You may only be live contacting 10 of those. So there's 50 in there that you have a means of contact, but you haven't engaged with yet. You're severely limiting yourself. You have 40 suspects over here that if you just do a little bit of research, you can probably pull a lot of viability out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's not part of your process to actively clean as you go, you need to make it a project.
Mm-hmm.
There's money in that stack.
If it's built up. But the better thing to do is, though, as a best practice, what you recommend is having all the salespeople or whoever's doing these contacts, whenever they find something, immediately correct it. Like take the extra 3 to 5 minutes rather than go on to the next call and correct the data right then. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. It needs to be part of the culture. And in sales, everybody says, oh, well, you know, the customer says, with them, what's in it for me? It's all about with them. Okay, we need to make this what's in it for the sales rep. They're viewing it as, well, my boss says I got to input this because he wants a report or she needs to see this data.
Right.
Coming from a salesperson at heart, salespeople hate to document.
Right. That's been the case every organization I've been part of. It's like pulling to, you know, to use the CRM, to use it properly. You know, it's so important for transparency, for like sick days, for taking over, for when somebody leaves, for data, for reporting, for accountability. But it's like pulling teeth.
The example I use is, well, when you hit the lottery and you're cruising around the world, how are we going to pick up the pieces? So we don't want to get hit by a bus.
Right. Not to say not the negative side.
But with the salesperson persona, it really is very much against their character. I'm a bit of a unicorn in that because I am very much analytical. I love the numbers. I love the data. But I'm also that artist. You know, I want to do the creative. I want to do the messaging. I want to do the branding and say, okay, well, this is not resonating with your customer. Let's do it this way. Let's present it that way. Let's do something creative. So I'm kind of that mix that is not typical of a sales rep. But getting so
how do we do it? The buy-in or the to see the self-interest.
Well, the truth of the matter is the person who can benefit most from using the CRM is the sales rep. If you've got a sales rep out there, and I use the term sales rep because we can be talking about BDRs, SDRs, AEs, corporate executives, it doesn't matter what your level is. If you're not doing a one call close, you are going to have a follow-up conversation. Do you remember what you talked to with someone who has an 18-month sales cycle? When they gave you a nugget of information in month 3 of that sales cycle, are you going to be able to find that on your legal pad when you're in your car driving down the road?
Right.
No, you're not. So put it in the CRM. It helps you close more deals faster. It helps you embed your relationship as a partner with that prospect. And it helps with the whole unification of the relationship with the partner, or I'm sorry, with the customer, all the way from first contact through customer success. It's critical.
Yeah.
But let me share with you something, Ben. I've read this report some time ago, but it kind of popped back up in my research the other day. In 2020, Validity put out their annual state of the CRM. And
put this out?
Validity.
Okay.
V-A-L-I-D-I-T-Y. And it's the annual state of the CRM data. And this is for the year 2020. And I may have the percentages off just a little bit, but there's three things I want to share with you. Something like 85% of the executives who responded say they absolutely rely on the data in their CRM to make business decisions. 46%, somewhere in that range, said the data is not good. And 10% of them said the data is so poor they cannot possibly make any decisions from it. But yet they rely on it. Over 85% rely on it.
That's all they have.
So how do executives plan forecasts? How do they plan capital expenditures from revenue that's going to come in next year? How do they plan their growth rate for the following year? How does product and technology make product revision plans? How does marketing make decisions? Because they don't know what's effective. The CRM. It's the heart of the organization. If it didn't go in the CRM, it didn't happen.
Right. As a last question, wrap up again, how can, what are the main things people should think about doing if they want to mine their CRM for hidden revenue opportunities? Yes. That's lower effort than running after new sales. What are some of the main principles they should think about doing to mine and find that hidden revenue?
Well, every CRM has reporting capabilities. They have dashboards, they have reports, they have analytics. So understand what your KPIs are and look for gaps. Whenever you see a gap, let's say your closing rate is down. Let's say your customer renewal rate is down. Let's say you're not getting any referrals. That's where you find an opportunity. Drill down into that, see where you have areas for improvement. So that's kind of a global approach. Now, as far as on an account by account basis, you need to be going into the CRM with those reports and make sure that the entire rep's territory is being penetrated. If they have 180 accounts and they're touching 20 of them, you need to dig into those other 160. If she's not going to call them, let someone else call them.
Mm-hmm.
You need to fully utilize the follow-up dates, because if you see a rep has 28 past due tasks, those tasks are in there for a reason, whether it's a follow-up or whatnot. If you're effectively using your follow-ups for nurtures, that is so key. If you have a disposition that says nurture, then you know this person has an interest or a need. It's just not today.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you put a follow-up date in there and regularly run that report for who needs to be followed up when. Use keywords in your CRM that says this person was very price conscious, or this person really needs this functionality. So have a feel for that, for keywords. And then when you come out with a light version, call them. You loved our product. It was just a bit out of your budget. But mm-hmm. we now have this light version. Mm-hmm. Let's set up a call. Or you said you were looking for something that was going to actually be able to handle P2P integration with your software platform. We can now work with your existing platform. We just made that integration. Let's set up that call.
Right. That's great. It's good stuff. Again, to get Michelle's help or learn more about what she does and finding hidden revenue opportunities, saleschasers.com. Check it out. Check out Michelle. Thank you so much for making this time, for sharing this wisdom today, for reaffirming this, just like, you know, like the what a waste it is, you know, to only focus on the new stuff. So it's just super appreciate that.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. And I look forward to our next conversation, Ben.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. And again, saleschasers.com. And everybody else, we'll see you on the other side. Thank you.
You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolfe.